The Supreme Court hears arguments tomorrow in a case that has the potential to impact abortion access across the country. It is the first time the court will look at the issue with two new conservative justices on the bench. Dahlia Lithwick writes about the courts and the law for Slate. She also hosts the podcast Amicus. Dahlia, welcome back.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And what do we need to know about the law at the center of this case from Louisiana that requires doctors who perform abortions to have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals?
Probably the most important thing to know is that it is identical to the Texas law, the admitting privileges law in Texas, that was struck down in 2016 when the court heard the Whole Women's Health versus Hellerstedt case. It's a requirement that requires any doctor who's performing an abortion to have admitting privileges at a hospital within a 30-mile radius. In Whole Women's Health, the court found that that did not benefit women's health outcomes, didn't benefit actually anyone. All it did was shutter clinics. The court's going to take a run at it, the same question.
Okay. So why? Because as you said, 2016, Texas, the court struck down that law. It's exactly the same as Louisiana, as this one in Louisiana. What, the major difference being the makeup of the court?
I think if you had to ask the question in grand constitutional terms, I think your answer is the right one, that Anthony Kennedy has since been replaced by Brett Kavanaugh. And there is a sense, at least in Louisiana and Trump's Justice Department, who are supporting them, that now the time is ripe to get a different conclusion today than the court gave in 2016.
Okay. So any signal on how the new justices, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, lean on this issue and what role the Chief Justice John Roberts might play?
Well, that's really the essential question. I think that it's safe to say that both Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Gorsuch are going to be on the side of Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito, tending to want to allow these kinds of laws, these so-called trap measures, that we just will just have the effect of closing down clinics. And that's why all eyes currently are on the Chief Justice. He has historically been very, very willing to uphold these kinds of abortion regulations. But he's also, as we often say, an institutionalist who cares a lot about the reputational and dignitary interests of the court. And so the mere optics of flipping on a case only a few years after the court resoundingly struck down the same exact provision, it might stick in his craw in a way that suggests that he might be opening to doing some kind of fine splitting of the salami here so that he doesn't have to overtly say that the case that was decided exactly on exactly the same issues just years ago was somehow wrong.
Because precedent is supposed to mean something when it comes to the Supreme Court. If they uphold the law, it would not overturn Roe v. Wade, the law that the ruling that legalized abortion nationwide with some restrictions. But what do you think the impact would be across the country?
Well, I think immediately if they uphold the law, there's going to be some effort to cabin Whole Women's Health to say that the undue burden that the Texas law created, using the parlance of the court's doctrine, is only actually apparently the case in Texas, and that other states can go ahead and pass these kinds of laws that will have the effect of shutting down clinics, of making, as we see in Louisiana, we'll go from three clinics to one. There may be only one abortion provider in the state to provide abortions for 10,000 women per year who seek them. So I think the effects could be we're not overturning Roe. We're going to make it all but impossible in states that seek to regulate abortion clinics out of existence for – we'll make it possible for that to happen. There's a side issue in this case that's really essential that doesn't get all the attention it needs, and that is that the court is going to look at this question of third-party standing, whether – abortion clinics can bring these cases on behalf of pregnant women. That has been the law, that they can do that since 1976. There's some question as to whether one way the court gets around the merits of the case by simply saying from here on in, abortion doctors' clinics can no longer represent the interests of the women they serve.
We just have a few minutes left, but I do want to ask you about another announcement from the court yesterday that it's going to hear a challenge to the Affordable Care Act. This will be the third time that the ACA goes before the court. What's this about?
This is a lawsuit that was brought by 20 Republican-run states. They're challenging the ACA on its face and saying essentially in 2017, when Congress zeroed out the penalty for failing to buy health insurance, what they meant to do was kill the entire individual mandate and, in effect, gut the entire ACA. They found a court in Texas who was willing to bless that argument. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals narrowed it somewhat but was okay with it. The court has now agreed to, in effect, say we're going to determine whether the entirety of the Affordable Care Act is, in fact, unconstitutional. And they appear to be willing to do it right before the 2020 election.
So let's talk about the timing here. The case will be on the docket this fall but not ruled on until after the election. Why is that important?
Well, we don't even know yet whether they're going to hear it in October or before the 2020 election. They're going to hear it after. But you're quite right. We won't have a decision until long after the election. It's important because I think 20 million Americans stand to lose their health coverage if the court strikes down all of the Affordable Care Act. We know that folks went to the polls in 2018. Their number one concern was their access to affordable health insurance. So it simply injects this issue front and center into the court's docket right before the presidential election. If people are worried about their access to health care, now the court is going to be a voting issue for them too.
And you know that people will be watching John Roberts again closely in this case. He has rejected challenges to the law in the past. But do you think this is going to be the final say on the ACA?
I think that John Roberts, as we just said in the abortion context, first and foremost does not want American voters to go to the polls in November of 2020 thinking about the fact that there's an 87-year-old and an 81-year-old liberal justice who can be replaced. He wants the court to fade out. So I think he will do whatever he has to do to take down the temperature on this case and on the abortion case and the other cases so that we're thinking about it after the election, not before.
Dahlia Lithwick writes about the court for Slate. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Peter, you realize this means that this could be the sixth election where the Affordable Care Act is one of the central issues.
Maybe one day we'll have an answer.